Welcome to Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. Appreciate you guys being here. And yes, I'm here not alone, but I'm here with a Deputy Frank Slope. So, Frank, I see you laughing. And look, it was pretty funny. You know, we're live now through the Boss Hog Radio Network, you know, Monday through Friday during the noon hour, you know, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. So, yes, we've taken that jump from a 2-hour weekly program to a 1-hour daily program, 5 hours, you know, a week, which is great. So I was watching Deputy Frank, you know, we're listening to some of the local ads. We started at like 12:06, but we're listening to local ads. And yeah, they had Arizona, where you're from, in one of the ads. I was watching your face during that, Frank. So that was pretty good.
That's it. It's a that whole legalized gambling thing's the new thing here in Arizona. So Super Bowl being here and legalized gambling for the first year is kind of a topic of conversation within the state here.
And look, we got some great stories and great lined up for you guys. But Frank, interesting history on Frank. He used to work. And look, if I mess this up, Frank, please correct me. Don't be bashful. I know you won't. I know that's not your DNA. But Frank used to work for Joe Arpaio in Maricopa County. But look, we all know Joe Arpaio. A lot of us love him. He's the guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he was the guy that did the work camps for like the illegal aliens that were coming over and other people. And there was a judge that ordered him to stop doing it. There were some variations of the story that say that he continued doing it. He got himself jammed up. He ended up getting charged and getting sentenced, but then he either got pardoned by Trump or there's some other legal process that Trump cleared him. And of course he campaigned with Trump. And of course, I think basically Maricopa County kind of went the pot after Joe Arpaio left and wasn't sheriff anymore. And they had all the voting stuff, which is still going, all the voting issues going on. So then you left there and you went to Pinal County, which is where another heavy hitter, Sheriff Lamb, he's one of like the top three sheriffs in the country, you know. And so you're working under him. So just a great resume, Joe Arpaio and Sheriff Lamb. I mean, what's next?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I'm looking for whatever my next job is. I've got my time in for the for my retirement and my pension system. I'm looking to see what's happening next. Right now, it's here. It's here with you. This is this is my next step.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that. So so thanks for being here, Deputy Frank. Appreciate it. And he's also on Fridays with Frank. It's a YouTube channel. It's sanctioned by the department. He has a cameraman. It's absolutely a great series to watch. So go ahead and subscribe, Fridays with Frank. It's on YouTube. If there's another outlet, let us know, Frank. But you guys won't be sorry. And it's very educational as well, especially for civilians.
That's it. It's on the Pinal County Sheriff's Office. Both their Facebook page and YouTube are the two platforms that the agency puts stuff out on. We try to get something out every Friday. As soon as I get done with this here, my cameraman will jump in with me, and we'll pull traffic for the rest of the day and see if we can find something interesting.
Great, great. And look, we try to cater to everybody, our audience. And so just for the people who don't get it, can you tell our listeners what day Fridays with Frank is actually on?
It's actually taped on typically on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It gives the cameraman some time to go in and edit everything. And he puts some music to it, subtitles and stuff. So it's put out on Fridays, but it's videoed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's it. That's the behind the scenes secret right there.
You know, it's funny. There will be people that would call or send me emails saying, hey, what day is it on? You know, and it's just like, you know, yeah, like what what day's New Year's on, you know, New Year's Day. All right. Well, thanks, Frank. Hey, a shout out to our sponsors. We have Motion DSP. We have Galls, gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live. And we are fueled by Bang Energy. Yes, I will be sending some Bang stuff to you soon, Deputy Frank. We're also on the Free Press with Brian Burns and Red Voice Media, Ray Dietrich. They're a great resource for, so appreciate having them. So look, we've got a great lineup as usual of stories. Now, look, I've been handed, when I showed up at Boss Hog, we covered, and Frank, I don't know if you were on the show or not, but we talked about this drive-by shooting that happened in Lakeland, Florida, which is, you know, the Boss Hog Radio Network. They're in Plant City in Lakeland. I'm in Plant City right now, but there's a drive-by, which is like, we don't hear a lot of national news about drive-by shootings in like gun Toton, you know, God-fearing, you know, Lakeland, Florida, but it happened. And so there's a new update to this. Their suspect, 21-year-old Alex Green. I don't even have it in my system yet, so I'm having to read it from paper. But they end up doing a pit maneuver on him. It was done by Lakeland Police Captain Eric Harper. There's a pit. The guy bails out on foot. So the captain's out of his car running, chasing this dude down. And so the captain chases him down. So this guy does like a kind of like a carjacking, hops in a car. There's some female that he knows, doesn't want him to take over the car, but he kind of like gets in the car and commandeers it and stuff. So the captain ends up shooting 6 rounds into the car. And man, I hope there's a video component of this coming up sometime soon. Crashes into a vacant building. And then the troops show up and they pull the guy from the car and they perform life-saving measures. But apparently that wasn't good enough because he succumbed to his injuries. And I don't think anyone's complaining that this bad guy is not only off the street, but he's off the planet right now. So the right thing ends up happening occasionally, Deputy Frank.
I feel like that's the proper ending to that. You don't see too many captains pit someone and then take off and chase them. So that's kudos to that captain for getting out there and getting the job done.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's great for the troops to be able to look up to that guy and say, hey, man, if he's doing it, it puts a pressure on, man. You got captains and lieutenants, you know, we know that we're not going to have SROs doing that. But, you know, if you have captains and lieutenants getting out of the car and chasing people down, you know, I mean, you know, it puts a pressure on to do the right thing, right?
That's right. And here in Pinal, we've got both captains and lieutenants that get the job done. They get out there, keep a uniform on, and they're doing traffic stops and taking care of business as needed. So it's not only in Lakeland that that's happening, but it's good to hear that it's somewhere besides here.
Hey, nice. You know, I'm looking forward to us getting your deputy chief and your chief deputy and your sheriff, you know, on the show as well. So.
Let me tell you, both of those guys, they take it to the streets.
Is that right, huh? The sheriff still?
Sheriff still does traffic stops. Sheriff Joe, when I was up in Maricopa County, Sheriff Joe never did traffic stops. That just wasn't his thing. Sheriff Lamb goes out and pulls people over, contacts them, runs them. Doesn't write as many tickets as I do, but he gets out there. He is absolutely still a law enforcement officer, and it's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I mean, you know, that's fantastic. So, let's move over to lawofficer.com. We have a terminated Arizona DPS trooper. And again, we're in Arizona, which is where you're at, Deputy Frank. Sent to prison for sex-related offenses during traffic stops. Now, look, I will be honest. I kind of cringe sometimes when I have to cover these stories. Look, we're not just going to cover the good for law enforcement. We're going to cover the bad, too, in full disclosure. So these people that think like, you know, the thin blue line, you only cover things that are pro-law enforcement, never want to show people the bad side. Look, we're going to show the bad, too. But my argument is that the system works. Here we are talking about a trooper, a bad guy that was a trooper, that happened to be a trooper, that was identified. And look, nature took its course, and he's been, you know, fired, arrested, sent to prison, and he's never going to be a cop again. So I think the system, for the most part, with very few exceptions, you know, works. So this Arizona police state trooper who was fired in 2019 for misconduct was sentenced to 5 years in prison after he pled guilty to multiple sex-related charges stemming from his actions during traffic stops, of all things. And that's according to Maricopa County Attorney's Office. Now, Trooper Tremaine Jackson, he's a 13-year veteran with the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And it goes on to say that at the time of his arrest in 2019, that's the position that he held. The ex-trooper initially faced 61 counts of sex-related kidnapping and fraud charges, according to the AZDP's website. However, Jackson agreed to a deal and pled guilty to unlawful imprisonment with sexual intent, bribery with sexual intent, attempted kidnapping with sexual intent, fraud with sexual intent, and unlawful sexual conduct by a police officer. There's a lot of sex in there, Deputy Frank. He was subsequently sentenced to 5 years in prison. He'll be placed on lifetime probation upon release, according to Fox 10 Phoenix. And I've got a little less than 3 minutes before our first commercial break, but it goes on to say that in May of 2019, Arizona DPS received a complaint against Jackson alleging misconduct. It developed into a second incident in June of 2019 that he sexually assaulted a woman during a traffic stop. He's immediately placed on administrative leave, and then the investigation started growing. So records show Jackson was arrested by DPS September 10, 2019, after the department investigated multiple complaints from female motorists, which included at least 8 victims, according to Fox. So, yeah, the investigation sounded like they did a jam-up job. Misconduct ranged from forced touching to asking for cell phone numbers and nude pictures. So most of the criminal offenses cited in charging documents filed against Jackson occurred between midnight and 4:30 in the morning. Jackson would make a traffic stop, detained women for nearly 2 hours. He frequently would ask victims what they were willing to do to avoid arrest, according to these court documents. And the reported misconduct ranged from coarse touching to asking for cell numbers, nude pictures, like I said earlier. In two cases, he's accused of grabbing a woman's hand and putting it on his genitals in December 2018. A year before he was arrested, a woman said that he pressured her to agree to oral sex, and then he follows her to her friend's house. And DPS terminated Jackson in the fall of 2019. His police officer certification was permanently revoked by Arizona Police Officer Standards and Training Board in August of 2022. So he's not going to be, well, now he's a convicted felon and he's doing time, so he's not going to be a cop anywhere. We got just over a minute before our commercial break, but Deputy Frank, I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
I think you and I are on the same page on this one. And this is a great example of DPS, which is the Arizona Department of Public Safety, the state troopers here, doing what needs to be done. This guy obviously doesn't need to wear a badge, doesn't need to wear a uniform, doesn't need to represent law enforcement across this country. And they did exactly what needed to be done, which is do a full and thorough investigation, get all the evidence they need, put a strong case together. This guy obviously takes a plea. He's lucky that his plea was 5 years, because I think you and I could both agree more than five is overly appropriate for this. So 5 years, I feel like he's getting off easy. And this is exactly what needs to happen. So it's good. It's good that it happened.
You know, it makes us all look bad. You don't hear people listen to the show. You don't hear any of us taking up for this guy. You know, he got what he deserved, actually deserved more than what he got. So look, let's take our first commercial break. We will be right back. Motion DSP, they've been supporting the law enforcement industry for over 15 years for their robust suite of video and audio redaction and enhancement software. Now, Motion DSP software, it's easy to use, requires no specialized training or expertise, and you can save valuable time with Spotlight's one-click automated tracking feature and forensic suite of enhancement filters. You can achieve results quickly in just three steps. That's import, process, and export. Now, Spotlight was built specifically for redaction, and it's designed to work with any video from any camera source. So using Motion DSP's algorithms and object tracking software, that technology automates the process of blurring faces and other identifiable information. It saves users countless hours compared to manual frame-by-frame redaction. And with forensic enhancement software, it allows users to quickly process any video file format using patent super resolution algorithms and enhancement filters to reveal an unseen level of detail. You can give valid evidence from low quality video instead of hours. So check out motiondsp.com. Welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. You know, I kind of got tongue twisted on that Motion DSP commercial, and I feel like I need to do them justice by, you know, they do two things. They do video enhancement. So they'll take, you know, crappy video and give you the tools necessary to clean it up, even so that you can use it as evidence in court. And when you deal in law enforcement, that becomes a very, very important thing, especially when you're dealing with like cell phone video or the stuff I used to use undercover. You never know what the quality is going to be like or the lighting conditions. And then they do redaction. And that's even more important because it helps save lives. You want to redact the information off your CIs and girlfriends, and the bad guys. Yeah, I don't know if you caught that or Frank. That was a little in purpose. That was done on purpose, just in case you're wondering. But you're undercover. Yeah, you're undercover cops. You want to dither these faces so you can protect these guys' identity and it can save lives. So look, that's important things that they do. So appreciate Motion DSP. So look, I think that we kind of exhausted the last topic. And let's jump to Fox13News.com yesterday. And that's involving a guy in a wheelchair that ended up getting tased. And I don't know if this happened maybe in more than one place. I was only able to find this story, and I was the person talking to me thought it was in New York, but this one's actually in St. Pete in Florida, you know, where I'm at. So the title of this article, St. Pete PD chief officer fired for using a stun gun on man who was not physically resisting.
Let's go back to June when the manager of a convenience store called police and wanted 64-year-old Timothy Grant removed from the property because he was panhandling. Officer Matthew Cavender, who had barely been on the job with the department for a year, came, and when he realized Grant had five warrants, he tried to arrest him.
Are you going to walk or not?
There was a struggle, and when he was on the ground, Chief Holloway says Grant tased the man, who was not being violent, four times. The chief says this use of force was uncalled for.
Now, I saw in one news outlet, they say that the guy was missing limbs, you know, like missing legs and stuff. And this guy clearly had legs, but he was in a wheelchair. I'll read the story to you guys or put it in my own words and let you guys figure out what happened, but it's pretty wild. So a St. Petersburg police officer fired after quickly turning to stun gun rather than following de-escalation protocol. And this is what the chief announced on Thursday. So investigators said the officer used it while the suspect was not physically resisting. They're talking about the taser. And again, look, for our radio and podcast listeners, I'm going to describe in great detail what's going on so you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But so after our officer, kind of according to the chief, jumps the gun and goes to the taser instead of doing hands-on, he later writes in his report the suspect was resisting with violence. Now, look, being a cop, you guys know automatically, it's a huge difference between resisting arrest, which is like typically a misdemeanor, and resisting with violence, where he's physically trying to hurt you and to get away. You know, if he's just, you know, locking his arms up or trying to pull away or something, that's just resist. But once they start to resist with violence or do an aggravated resist, depending on what locale you're working in, you know, that's a serious charge. There's a definite distinction between that. So they're saying that this cop lied in the report. So back on June 20th of 2021, so we're talking, what, about a year and a half ago, the owner of a Chevron gas station made a trespassing request due to a panhandler that was at the store. So Officer Matthew Cavender and his partner show up before 5 o'clock p.m. They find a 64-year-old Timothy Grant. That ends up being our bad guy. So, and I say bad guy, look, he's trespassing. They're giving a trespass after warning. So don't get on my case about a wheelchair-bound guy being a bad guy, because he can't be a bad guy, even though he's a victim too. So they run his name, and they learn that he had 5 active warrants. So see, Frank, he is a bad guy, and one of the warrants is for failing to appear in court. The police department releases body cam footage from the second officer's body cam. It shows Cavender explain the previous charges as being drug-related. So the officers, they saw Grant walking around the business. Yeah, this guy was walking around previously, and when it came time to arrest him, he's seated in a wheelchair. This is what Chief Anthony Holloway is explaining. So in the video, both officers are seen attempting to lift Grant out of the wheelchair. And at one point, the footage shows Grant laying on his stomach in front of the convenience store. So the chief said that instead of using both of his hands, the officer went straight to his taser and started tasering Mr. Grant. The chief said that Cavender dry stunned him, which means you're not using the probes and discharging them and they're going into the body. You know, you're just the cartridge is removed and you're dry stunning them, and it's just electrical charge on the guy. And that's what he's doing to our bad guy. And so he dry stunned him. And chief goes on the quote saying that what he did was place the taser up against his body. He pulled the trigger, he said it caused an electrical shock to go through the body, but without the probes. And after that's done, he read the report that our bad guy was resisting with violence, but he in fact was not doing that. It goes on to say the victim did not complain. The people at the scene did not complain. It was a supervisor that noticed this video and reported the officer of what went down. So the chief is like, singing praises to the supervisor. Cavender, our officer that ended up being fired, he's hired March 23rd of 2020, so not long ago, and he had no prior disciplinary action against him, but he's gone. So Deputy Frank, 2.5 minutes, your thoughts on this?
What's funny is that you said you had to remove the probes, the new tasers, which have probably come around since you retired.
Oh, you're being gentle, aren't you?
Wow. Got you. So you don't even have to take your probes off and use both hands. You can actually, you can drive stun with the probes on now. And that's one of the new developments.
With the cartridge on, really? You can drive stun with it? So yep. How do you, just add it? Look, guys, I'm kind of learning online with you guys. So how does the taser distinguish whether you're wanting to deploy or not to deploy?
You have a difference. So there's a black button on the side and here, and then the trigger here. So I can arc it. I can show that, and the probes are still in there. Okay. So if I pull the trigger, it deploys the probes. If I hit that side button, arcs it. So you can drive stun someone, still have the ability to immediately deploy those probes should the situation change. And I'll tell you the reason for this is this is a officer that isn't comfortable using his hands. And this is someone that is more, wants to rely more on some sort of weapon instead of going empty hands, which I think, you know, you and I are both kind of from the old school, and empty hands is more appropriate than not, I think in a lot of these situations. But this is just someone that isn't comfortable with control holds, with pressure points, with joint manipulation, all the things that are that would be commonly used in this Probably an exhibition of just passive resistance is what we would call that here in Arizona, where you just, you're not, like you said, you're not trying to fight. You're not trying to hurt me. You're not trying to get away. You're just not doing what I tell you to do.
Yeah. Excellent. So, so I wonder how many departments have upgraded the taser, because we just covered a new taser that shoots from 45 feet away. We covered that on, I think it was maybe yesterday's show, the new technology there. So I wonder how many of the older tasers are still out there. I don't know. But so you have two buttons. That's fascinating. And you know what? I like to get a sound file of that arcing and maybe change our theme song to that sound. I love that.
I've got it here if you need it.
Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, let's talk about Galls at galls.com/Leo. Don't forget that /Leo at the end. Of course, everybody knows Leo stands for law enforcement officer. But Galls, you know, I kind of feel like on the department, I grew up with Galls. But then you've got these young guns like Deputy Frank here. And we were figuring out the age, but you're like 14 years younger than me. I hate you already. But you know, they're very familiar with Galls, too. Galls has been around for so long. They used to have these thick catalogs, Galls law enforcement supply, and now they're the country's leading uniform, clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. And yes, they're in the uniform market. They have a variety of offerings, everything from multi-tools and flashlights to duty belts and tactical gear. In my old agency, Tampa Police Department, they've got an office inside the Tampa Police headquarters that they're doing uniform business, a big business for them. So guys, check out Galls at galls.com/Leo. They've always got specials going on involving free shipping, all kinds of stuff. Check it out. You won't be sorry. Welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show, guys. Did we exhaust that last video that we were talking about, Deputy Frank?
Yeah, I think we covered what needed to be covered out of it.
Is that guy, you think he's going to be applying at Pinal County anytime soon, or not for the next 4 years, maybe?
We've got plenty of good applicants. We don't have to worry about that one.
And that's nice. You know, you have a good agency. You got a good agency head. You know, you're not going to usually have that kind of an issue. You know, you take care of your troops. That's where they want to go work. So you got to love that aspect of it. You know, I'm reading, you know, for the people watching our show, and I know we've got this new format, you know, we still talk about today's news and issues from a law enforcement perspective, but we are doing this live show through the Boss Hog Radio Network Monday through Friday during the lunch hour on Eastern time, 12 to 1 p.m. So we're able to cover more stories before it would be a 2-hour show. And, we're not as timely as we're able to be now covering the news on a daily basis. And I'm watching, you know, we're streaming it through StreamYard. So we're on two Facebook pages. We're on LinkedIn. We're on YouTube and we're on Twitter. So most of these guys are conversing with us on the side of the screen. I'm reading guys talking about Deputy Frank being a twin brother for panelist David DeAgresta. They're talking about Sheriff Lamb and what a beast he is, and just all kinds of great content on here. So guys, thanks for following the live stream and for making the comments. Appreciate that. You know, moving along, we've got another story that's got a video component to it. It's also on rumble.com on This Is Butter, which I think is the best law enforcement video channel that there is. You guys need to check them out at rumble.com. This Is Butter. A body cam video released after a Florida man shot for charging a deputy with knives, and that's knives plural.
Make some announcements.
Michael, put your knife down now.
Do you see a knife?
Yeah, he's got two knives.
Anybody near him?
Nobody.
Okay, I'm gonna move that door. You guys move up. I'm gonna open that door.
Yeah, this stuff happens in Florida occasionally, which is two stories in a row. So this is Volusia County Sheriff's Office. So they released a body cam video showing the moments that led to a deputy shooting a man accused of charging at a deputy with knives during a mental health episode. Never a good idea. So Sheriff Michael Chitwood provides an update on the case Monday during a news conference. He said deputies responded to a home Sunday afternoon after they said that a man later identified as 43-year-old Michael Colmer. He's waving two knives and he's threatening people. So deputies, they enter the back door of the home. They deploy tasers and a less lethal shotgun to subdue him. But despite taser deployments, our bad guy, Colmer, he runs out the front door of the home where there's another deputy waiting for him and charges towards the deputy. That deputy ends up firing at Colmer, who's then treated at the scene, taken to the hospital for surgery. And he faces four counts of assault on a law enforcement officer. So it sounds like he's going to survive. Colmer's parents were not injured in the incident, but you can see deputies extracting at least one parent, you know, out of the house while all this is going on. And none of the deputies were adversely affected either. But the incident was the second time in the past weeks that our bad guy exhibited erratic behavior. And that's why it's so important for family members to keep to dial this in, because, you know, when you call law enforcement for like a mental health crisis, you know, there are many things we can do, but you know, you're going to get a police response. If you call the police, you're going to get a police response. So don't not expect a law enforcement response when you call us. So according to the deputies, Colmer was recently released from Florida prison in October of 2022. So don't think this is just some dude with, you know, having some mental issues. He just gets out of prison after serving 4 years for charges, including aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. His arrest in that case came after he stabbed a Port Orange woman multiple times in July of 2017. Wow. His Florida criminal history includes 31 felony charges, 17 convictions, and 33 misdemeanor charges with 19 convictions. So, wow. I remember making a note that there was a supervisor, I think it was a sergeant, that was on the scene that was kind of directing the deputies on what to do and where they're moving in. I like the fact that he was holding on to one of the guys do an entry. You know, it's nice to know where your guys are at and touching each other, you know, during that moving in and out so that people don't back into things, fall over and stuff. It seemed very professional, like he had his act together. And I love the way he said, look, one guy vocalizing, you know, verbalizing, you know, actions and stuff. I don't know. What do you think, Deputy Frank?
I watched this video. Tactically, you know, I mean, you can armchair quarterback someone all day long with tactics, but I think you're right. I think the you get a little group mentality where everyone starts yelling and it's, you know, gets garbled. Having one person directing, giving directions to someone. This is a rough scenario. You've got, you know, obviously parents inside. The guy closes the door. Now you're looking at a possible barricade. He's got a history of violence. This is a bad scenario for these guys to go to. The good thing is there's a lot of deputies there. Deputies in big groups can really take care of business. And that's what happened here is, deadly force was absolutely, you know, at least the way I look at it, was needed in that situation. But they throttled back immediately as soon as the immediate threat ended. And it was throttled down, gun goes away. He left the remainder of the scene to the guys that were empty hands to restrain him, to, you know, give him medical care. It looks real good. And that's, if I was the sheriff of that department, I'd be pretty happy with how my guys responded to this.
Oh yeah. That supervisor on scene, those troops that work for him, man, they stand to gain so much experience from that dude that was calling those shots. And I mean, look, ultimately you want these guys to be able to be on the scene and make decisions like that on their own without having to be told what to do. I've seen guys that you can tell, they just like barking out the orders, not giving, you know, they're not teaching guys. They're just like being in charge, you know, large and in charge, you know? So this guy, he was training these guys the way I thought that it should be done. I loved what I saw. There was a good outcome. And these guys are learning from one of the best, I think. So we're on the same page, Deputy Frank.
That's it. Yeah. This is there's a lot of mentorship that's going on there. He's not a manager. That's a leader, and there's a lot of difference in between there. And I think we've all had managers as our bosses, but when you have a leader, someone like that, you want to soak some of that up. And it looks like he's taking a real good mentorship spot for his younger guys, and his younger guys will come up behind him as, you know, that sergeant moves on to lieutenant, and those deputies eventually one day will be sergeants, and they'll be able to take that mentorship spot, you know, and that's how we work well.
Yeah, no doubt that supervisor is saving lives through what he's doing and how he's training his troops. No, saving civilians and saving law enforcement lives by the way he's doing it. I love it. Moving along, got a story. You know, I hate to give this guy this. I'm talking about Colin Kaepernick. I hate to give this guy any airtime. It's in the news. It's on LeoAffairs.com. Colin Kaepernick made a TV show about Bakersfield PD. The department says that it's biased. So, you know, just when you think that this guy, this, you know, washed up quarterback has disappeared, you know, he's back. He's back in the news again. And he's not with Black Lives Matter this time, but it's with Bakersfield Police Department, which reexamines local controversial police shootings and said that officers are creating a transparency portal so people can make their own judgments about statistical and factual inaccuracy. So that's how the department's combating this. Released Friday on Hulu, which is actually, I have Hulu, and we're actually, the show is on Hulu and Amazon Fire, but Killing County focuses on five victims of shootings by police and Kern County Sheriff's Office deputies. It was produced by ABC News Studios and Kaepernick Media, of all things. It used the Guardian's 2015 investigation into Kern's law enforcement as inspiration for the series. And when asked to respond to alleged statistical and factual inaccuracies on the documentary, Ben Masilis, the executive producer from Kaepernick Media, said that the agency, BPD, had a chance to state their concerns in the series, but I guess they did not. He said, look, we offered the Bakersfield Police Department the opportunity to participate in the docuseries. And he wrote, and he's also the civil rights attorney who represented one victim featured in the documentary, and but they declined. So any thoughts on this?
No, I've got a bunch of thoughts. I don't know how many of them I can share on here, but I got a bunch of thoughts. And I agree with you. I don't think Kaepernick deserves any of our time. He's obviously his views and our views are in stark opposition, and I don't think we'll ever see the anything through the same light. But in the very top of that article, where it says that it's a true crime thriller, blah blah blah, it says the most police executions, and I think just that right there shows you where his where the focus of this is, and it's not about people making bad decisions and putting police officers in a position where they have to use deadly force. It's obviously slanted one way, and it's the way that of where his perception is. So I wouldn't, if I was Bakersfield, I wouldn't have given this guy an ounce of credit or a minute of my time to give any sort of response either, because it's going to fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. Agreed. Thanks, Deputy. Well, look, we've got only about 30 seconds before our next break. So I appreciate our audience sticking with us, because I know with this new format, there's a lot more commercials because we got the local side here. But thank you, guys. Back on Rumble, this is Butters the Channel. We have a Shorewood. They release a dash cam of a fatal officer shooting when the suspect shoots first in La Quinta. So it's around 11:45 p.m. It's on March the 14th, 2022. So we're talking about just less than a year. And this guy, he ends up calling 911. But look, hold that thought. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, look, no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, they've taken the confusion out of learning and they've made it easy. GunLearn.com, it's the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program where they take you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our panelist, Captain Brett Bartlett. So they provide citations from better law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And their training is approved by major forensic organizations, law enforcement agencies, and firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that Leos need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start today with online training, or you can register to attend a live seminar. And get this, you can also get free training for yourself and the personnel of your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. Welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Show, the law enforcement talk show that's nationally syndicated. Look, we left off talking about the, I said La Quinta, but the commercials, they say La Quinta. So however you pronounce it, around 11:45 p.m., March 14th, 2022, less than a year ago, This guy identified as Jose De Jesus Hernandez. He's 39 years old. He calls 911 twice, and he hangs up both times, and he says, actually, he told 911 that he was parked in the back parking lot of the La Quinta Inn and Suites, and he's facing Interstate 55. So Shorewood police officer Chris, I guess it's called Chris Cohn, he ends up driving there to check it out. He did not activate his unmarked police car sirens or emergency lights, but he's in a cool car, and it seems to be an unknown medical call is what he's assuming. So shootings happen within a fraction of a second. There's a dash cam, and it makes the evidence that Hernandez, our bad guy, fires his gun first. He races his gun in the direction of the Shorewood police, who were already alerted by Officer Chris Cohn that the man had a gun in his hand while sitting inside the vehicle behind the La Quinta Inn. So, yeah, so this guy, just go from my memory, I'm looking at the video, you know, the dash cam on the police car, you know, it's facing this guy, and the car is elongated, facing the other direction. And you got the guy with the window rolled up in the driver's seat. So just as Hernandez shot himself in the shoulder, though, we got a officer Chris Cohn actually had a long gun, I guess, and returned fire, fatally shooting the guy once in the head with his police rifle. So officer Chris Cohn was standing at least 35 feet away, positioned himself behind a squad car for his own safety when this goes down. So, yeah, when you're watching the video, Deputy Frank, it's kind of hard. If you didn't have the storyline from the article, it may, at least for me, it was a little hard to figure out what went down, because I thought maybe the bad guy was all of a sudden decided like to take a gun and try to shoot at the cops or whatever. So I don't know what your thinking was of that, but.
That was I tell you, how fast that guy moved and how fast that officer responded was really impressive. But I think the positioning of his vehicle was good to really light up the interior of that car, gave him a good view. I don't think that there was any question as to what that suspect in the car was doing. And obviously those two shots are I mean, seconds apart, from less than seconds apart from one to the other. But I mean, that guy, he chose his own destiny with that. He had all the time in the world that police officer was following him to stop and to do the right thing and have a very peaceful ending to this. And that suspect made the decision as to how this was going to go, as what happens a lot in our line of work. We're purely responsive, and he brought a gun to this fight and ended up leaving it at room temperature. And I think that's what happens when you make those decisions.
Now, you're so right. We're in charge of our own destiny. And, you know, this bad guy was, you know, when I watch any use of force video, the very first thing I take into consideration is the compliance factor. You know, was our bad guy compliant with the lawful order of a law enforcement officer, which they're compelled and required to do by law? So, and 99.9% of the time they are not. So whether you're talking about George Floyd passing a counterfeit $20 bill and resisting arrest by not wanting to get in the backseat of the car or other things, all these things are domino effects that makes them at least partially responsible for what happens to them, you know, because of their actions or lack of actions. Now this one, I will point out that I suspect that the cop armed with a rifle, I'm assuming it was a .223 round, probably from like an AR-15 platform, not dead on, at an angle, shooting through glass. I mean, the glass maybe was shattered by the time the cop took the shot, because our bad guy had like rolled the window down and took a shot. But the cop only took one shot, but I was still impressed. 35 feet away, through the glass, at an angle, and the quick reaction time of the officer, it's not an easy thing.
No, it's not an easy shot. Now, luckily, the suspect being in such close proximity to the window minimizes deflection, even of a .223 round, which is probably 55 grain. We shoot a little heavier. We shoot a 64 grain here, but 55 grain is pretty much the industry standard. And I mean, this doesn't take a lot to make that bullet go somewhere else. So that officer obviously knew exactly what he was doing with that rifle. Like you said, headshot at 35 feet, no matter what, it's still a moving target. And the head moves a lot. And that guy really, he put all of his training to work that day. And obviously it kept him safe.
Well, I must point out that after that shot, the head definitely moved a lot. That was wow. All right. So moving along, we're still on Rumble. This is Butters, the channel. Let's see, we've got, there is a video component of this one as well. But again, Radio and podcast listeners, we're going to describe in great detail what's going on. So we've got a little over 4 minutes. So in this one, it shows the shooting after a woman reverses into a deputy's car.
As the deputy began giving commands, the suspect reversed the vehicle, striking the stopped patrol vehicle, at which time the deputy fired once. Here is the unedited footage from the deputy's body camera once the vehicle stops.
105, he stopped in front of the house, Washington 28. Sheriff's office! Do not move!
Affirm, he's back in to my vehicle.
You know, we got a lot of deputies in these stories, Deputy Frank. I mean, it's not a lot of cops. It's a lot of deputies. So I don't know if this is, you know, I just picked up on this. It's just a lot of deputy stuff and sheriff's office stuff.
Deputies, we end up dealing with some rough people. And we're outside of city limits, at least here in Arizona. We're dealing with people that don't want to be in the city and they carry a lot of guns.
No doubt. So we're in San Juan County. And that sheriff's office, they released this video of a deputy involved shooting. And it also involved this 29-year-old Lacey Gomez. So this starts taking place around, let's see, we've got 5 a.m. So 5 o'clock in the morning, January the 21st, a San Juan County Sheriff's Office deputy tries to pull over a gray car over driving with their headlights off. So, you know, I'm automatically thinking suspected DUI or something. So, but it's a little late. It's 5 a.m. So that's when the car starts to drive away from the deputy and the driver tries to get away two more times afterwards. So after pursuit, the vehicle finally pulls over, but reverses and it goes right into the deputy's car. Yeah, there's a video component to this. You get to watch it. So in the body camera footage, I think that we had a dash cam and body cam on this, but you see the deputy on his body worn camera shoot his gun once and the bullet shatters the back window of the car. Deputies eventually arrest 29-year-old Lacey Gomez, and Gomez had three previous violent convictions, including a felony. And we've got Sheriff Shane Ferrari is giving a lot of the information out and the news release on this thing. So I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had anyone reverse into you or drive into you, but it gives you a little bit of a pucker factor. What do you think, Deputy?
I absolutely agree with that. And here in Arizona, cars are weapons. I'm sure it's the same way in Florida. And you run into me with your car, you are absolutely knowingly trying to hurt me. And that doesn't work out well, especially with, like you said, with deputies. We don't take too kindly to being rammed. This officer, did what needed to happen. Responded properly. Shot was fired. They de-escalated that as needed. Suspect was taken into custody. I think it's another great use of our ability to ramp up and escalate and then to de-escalate as needed. So it's just another tribute to the training that this department gave their officers and they used it properly.
Yeah, excellent words, Deputy Frank. You know, I would rather get hit by a fur missile, which is a canine, of course, than a 3,000-pound vehicle missile. I mean, that's 3,000 pounds that you just simply can't displace yourself. You know, it's going to go where it's going to go and just move you. One thing I want to get in real quick, we've got just about a little over a minute, but it's in Phoenix. So, you know, we're in your neck of the woods. I don't think that you were on the show when we covered this initially, but it's an update. LeoFerris.com. We have a Phoenix police officer accused of making. Now, look, I know what you're thinking automatically. I'm talking about a cop making adult films while on duty and he resigns. And I know you're already thinking, all right. At least on the show, the deputies we're talking about are shooting bad guys and taking care of business. And the police officers we're talking about, they're making porn stars and getting fired for doing, you know, sex offenses while they're working and pulling over, you know, women and stuff. So I know what you're thinking. But on this one, Phoenix cop, he was caught making adult media stuff on the side. He ends up resigning. It was Officer Christian Rico Blaze Goggins. Rico Blaze was his stage name, I think. He had OnlyFans on Twitter. So any parting words on that, Deputy Frank?
No. I don't know if there's anything I can say that hasn't been said about this. I think we attribute this to hiring people that shouldn't be cops to begin with. He's only been hired since 2020. As we start to lower our standards and try to increase our people in this profession, we're going to get people that are low.
All right, guys. Look, I want to close. I want to thank you guys for everyone being here, or people that are streaming the show and watching us and all the outlets. But, you know, in closing this out, I do want to talk about the Wounded Blue. That's Lieutenant Randy's the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Look, they help guys out that are in a world of hurt. And I'm talking about law enforcement guys. They've got excellent people that volunteer with the organization as well. So if you're suffering from PTSD or you want to support the guys that are getting PTSD help from the Wounded Blue, they also help people that have transitioned out of law enforcement, you know, land jobs. They take volunteers that want to help people with issues. Look, they're even involved in helping guys that have had issues, you know, got injured on duty and the departments have dropped the ball with getting medical attention. You know, they're into all that. So please support the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And also shout out to our sponsors, Motion DSP, Gulls, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, Bang Energy. Thank you guys, Free Press Voice Media. Have a great week.